Show your patriotism with a flag from the United States Flag Service. They offer premium, high-quality flags that are made in the USA. Whether it's the grand old flag, your favorite military flag, or a historical flag, celebrate your freedom with the flag from the United States Flag Service. Go to usflagservice.com. That's usflagservice.com to see their selection of available flags. And then call 1-800-USA-FLAG to purchase your flag today. USA Flag Service. Fly your flag for freedom.
Now, the Jen Charlton Show on 930 WFMD and WFMD.com. Telling it like it is with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's great to be with you today. And we have an important show that I think is perhaps a turning point for us in looking at the nation and assessing where we are. So I haven't really come out with any public opinions on the Key Bridge situation, but I have some, and I'm going to share that with you today. When you look at what's been going on in our nation, you know, we were told that there could be attacks on our infrastructure. We were told, and I covered it a couple years ago with a gentleman who's now passed, about the EMPs. We were told that we could have attacks on our electric grid. Because so much of this now is on the internet and, you know, connected through technology, there are ways for hackers from wherever around the world to come in and alter or affect our infrastructure in a way that is incredibly disruptive, maybe even dangerous. Water supply, food supply, in the case of the Key Bridge and the train derailment, which I've been covering from East Palestine and that entire region, you know, that's a hit on our transportation, right? So whether it's coming into the ports, and I just learned recently, somebody covered it yesterday, that there's a corridor of transportation of toxic chemicals through the Baltimore port, probably ending up on trains that, I don't know, go through East Palestine, for example. And the infrastructure that's been attacked will alter pricing on products, goods, services. It will alter, you know, the flow of traffic and so forth. So this is a massive hit on our infrastructure. I want to give a shout out to Lara Logan, who has done incredible reporting on this. And apparently she has intel contacts who have covered with her what really happened. When I saw that, I knew immediately that was not an accident. It just, there's no way it was an accident. The governor, the president, Biden, talking heads said, oh, that's not terrorism. They said it immediately before any investigation had been done, as if to tamp down, control a narrative, shut down any thoughts or notion that the Key Bridge issue, that falling down of the bridge, could be caused by outside bad actors or inside bad actors or both. So, but when you look at the videos, it clearly takes a hard right into that infrastructure. It was a direct hit that would take the whole bridge down. So it's my opinion it was not an accident. It's now coming out through Lara Logan's reporting and others, but she, I think, really broke the story that hackers got in and somehow, quote, took control, not quote, but, you know, air quotes, like what it is to take control of a ship when you're not on board. So in other words, through the electronic system, they were able to I guess, overcome the controls of the ship. That is now what the shipping company is claiming, apparently. So there's more to this story than the talking heads want us to believe. And that brings me to my next point. We have allowed for too long the opposition to own the narrative. Now, in some cases, they've overwhelmed us with their systems of corruption through media. And media has been, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, I don't care. Media has been complicit in that narrative construct. And when you look at the whole idea of where we are today versus November 3rd and 4th, 2020, when there was election fraud, and I've covered, so I'm kind of I'm giving you a summation of some things I've said in the past, but I've said it right here with Liz Harrington. The insurrection didn't happen on January 6th, as the left would have us believe. That's their narrative, that they want unsuspecting people who aren't really in the know to believe. No, the insurrection happened on November 3rd and 4th of 2020, when they corruptly installed their people through a myriad of means. So many of us have worked really hard on this to try and right the ship, so to speak. But one thing to remember is we have to own our narrative. We cannot allow them to control our narrative any further, because there are people who are ignorant, who are not getting correct information because they rely on bad sources of information, whether it's CNN, MSN, DNC, whatever, to absorb the content that the bad guys are spewing at them. And they say, okie doke, that must be true, that Biden won. And oh, by the way, you know, he could do it from his basement without campaigning. Who in the planet ever was able to win an honest election from their basement? The whole thing is insane. It makes no sense. But we've bought that narrative. We've bought the narrative that Annapolis and Maryland is a blue state. It's just not true. But they've been installing legislators here for decades. We were way ahead of that bell curve. So of course they create legislation like illegals can have access to our health care. And somebody will say, well, you know, they didn't pay for it, so they don't have to pay for it. There's no fiscal note. Well, yeah, but the NGOs are going to make sure they can pay for it. They get better access to resources than we do. And our veterans, forget it. While they're homeless, they're putting illegals in housing. The whole thing is insane. So where we've gotten over 4 years is on the precipice of losing our nation. And there are a few heroes out there who are fighting really, really hard to save our country. And one of those is my dad, and he's in studio today, Walter Charlton. And I just really want to thank him for his hard work. At his later years in life, he's fighting, I think he would say, to his last breath. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Jen Charlton Show. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, and also TotalWellFit.com. TotalWellFit.com is an online wellness boutique. Please go check it out. Would love to have your support there, and we'll be right back. Do you want to experience wellness at a whole new level? Make your health and wellness a priority and be your best you. Check out TotalWellFit.com for top quality nutritional and wellness products. For example, our collagen creamer is made with stevia and helps with elasticity in the skin, hair, and nails while providing structure for tendons and joints. And it's delicious. TotalWellFit.com. It's a lifestyle thing. Welcome back. This is Jen, and I want to mention one more thing that I think is going to be relevant for today's discussion. There's a project called the 65project.com, the65project.com. Now, they call themselves bipartisan, but they're anything but that. Defending democracy and the rule of law. So I want to deal with something. First of all, defending democracy, anybody can say that. What matters is their actions. So again, back to controlling the narrative. What matters is what actions are they taking. So they're not, in fact, defending democracy when their mission is to take down every Trump attorney in the country. They're on a mission. They just took down John Eastman. John Eastman's a great attorney, and they stripped him of his ability to practice law. They did it to Rudy Giuliani. They have a list of over 100 attorneys who have worked with Trump that they are targeting to take them down so that they can't practice law, they can't make a living. Why? Because they'll do whatever they have to do in order to win. They'll do whatever they have to do in order to win. So that's not defending democracy. That's communism and authoritarian, totalitarian, whatever you want to call it. But it isn't democracy, and it isn't going to save this republic. It's going to destroy it. So this morning, I have with me in studio Walter Charlton, my father. He's an attorney working on the case, as you know, about it's a RICO case, which means racketeering. That means coordinated corruption. And I'm summarizing. But good morning, Dad. It's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Okay, Dad. So, you know, there's a lot happening here. One thing I'd like you to comment on, and you know some of these attorneys, the attack on Trump attorneys continues as they try to attack Trump. They try to attack his attorneys and basically nullify his ability to run for office because they can't have him win at all costs. They cannot have Trump win. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's not attacks just on attorneys. It's attack on anyone with a grain of sense that happens to disagree with the false, communist, idiotic narrative, like, for example, that bridge falling down is an accident of the barges. Come on. What we are in deep, deep trouble in terms of who controls stuff. I've seen lately strong indications that the courts are corrupted. And I'm not talking traffic courts. Those too, but when federal courts start touting and quoting the narratives and freedom of speech of attorneys is attacked, and handcuffs are put, verbal and otherwise, are put on attorneys who are outraged for such things as the January 6th communist actions of those people in the dungeons. My God, the country's in great, great, deep doo-doo. I mean, that's the only way to say it.
So when you look at the situation in Atlanta, for example, Fannie Willis and her partner, you know, they, you know, there's some serious allegations that she, you know, lied to the court, but no action has been taken against her because she's on the side of the, you know, corrupt courts and narrative.
Well, so, of course.
So what, you know, just a brief thought before we bring on our guest, what are your thoughts about how we start to tackle this corrupt system of justice?
Well, look, I'm a fighter. I boxed in college and stuff. You hit these things with a baseball bat right between the eyes. And you say, oh, no, we're not putting up with this stuff anymore. And you have to. And anybody who chickens out and doesn't step to the fore, and I'm talking male or female, it doesn't make any difference. You are either going to put up with this treason on the other side, or you're going to fight it as utter nonsense and contrary to the American way of life. These freedoms that are going predate the Constitution, go back to the Magna Carta and the Norman Conquest, all of our entire, and Roman law. You know, it's ridiculous what's going on.
So that's another show for another day, but you're speaking about something I think is important for people to go and study, the Magna Carta. Go Google it, if they'll let you, and find the Magna Carta and start to entrench yourself in some of these basic fundamental humanistic principles that are, you know, the rights given to us by God and so forth, because that is what the Constitution was based on.
And, correct.
Yeah, very good. Well, let's bring on our first guest, who is Peter Berniger. And Peter and I've had Peter on before, and he's been a hero up in the Wisconsin area, fighting for justice through the election system and making sure that we right the ship. And he's also been under attack. So good morning and welcome, Peter. It's great to have you back on the show, and thanks for availing yourself this morning.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, and I thought I would give you the opportunity to kind of give us an update of what you've been dealing with in Wisconsin on the election system. Are you able to, there was a big outcome as a result of your election up there. Could you give people an update on that? I believe it was Amendment 2 where they talked about there will no longer be, they will no longer allow outside influence or outside companies to influence or run election processes. And for everybody who's listening, that brings us to the Zuckerbucks conversation, which was the organization that funded a lot of Democrat run operations throughout the country, including in Maryland. They brought in $6.2 million about into Maryland to work on the election. So it's a third party influence, which really should be relegated and kept with the election officials at the state level. And that's what Wisconsin did. And you guys were on the cutting edge of that. Could you speak to that?
Sure. Last week we had our spring election and the presidential primary, of course. There were two statewide referendums on there. The first was to ban outside money coming into the election clerk's offices. And Wisconsin isn't that large of a state, and Zuckerberg funneled in through his wife, Priscilla, $12 million is the revised number that came out as kind of a final number. So $12 million, and of course it was extremely dependent on going to the Democrat liberal city clerks. So we have 1,852 clerks because it's a very decentralized system that we run, at least in theory. And Zuckerberg came in. Now, the way he came in with that's the First Amendment, is to ban outside private money coming into government offices, pertaining to anything to do with elections. The Second Amendment is to ban outside people from coming in. And this refers to one in particular, but there's many, Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. Now, he came in with the Zuckerberg money through the Brennan Center at the New York School of Law. So they're the ones who infiltrated into the mayor's office of Racine, City of Racine, Corey Mason, who then got it in touch with the city of Milwaukee clerk, Claire Woodall Vaughg, and they proceeded to bring in personnel. They embedded them in with the clerk's offices. They were not contractors. They were not employees. They were not paid consultants under contract. They just walked in, and in fact, Rubenstein even took a badge, a city badge that says city employee, and he pasted it on his chest. And
wait, hold on. Before you move off of that, isn't that illegal? I mean, you're representing yourself falsely as a government official.
It's doubly illegal because, yes, he was supposed to first off, you know, be there officially approved. But second, even if he was brought in as a consultant or some capacity by the city, which he wasn't, it was done through the back door, he was mandated by state law to have specific training to be able to do a certain function in the elections. And that training is mandatory, where the person who goes and completes the course signs off on a certification that they completed the training. And he didn't do that, of course. And there's others. It's not just Rubenstein. There's others who came in and literally had desks inside the election clerk's offices in Green Bay and Milwaukee for two.
Sounds like an infiltration, if you will.
It was, and the emails prove that out. I did a public records request to the city of Milwaukee, and luckily I got them, 550 of them. They ended up in the Justice Gableman's report through his Office of Special Counsel before the so-called Republican Robin Voss fired Justice Gableman. And I just want to make a quick note. Gableman had 91 subpoenas filled out and ready to be served. And he did get something like six or eight of them served. And then right at that time, the so-called Republican Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss, and fired him.
So, okay, Dad has a comment. Go ahead, Dad.
Well, this sounds like the same thing that we've got in our cases in Maryland. Almost. We've got 25 people's names where they've done hundreds of thousands of donations, and they send the money wherever and whichever they want. And this is the same in all the states, apparently.
So
that's what we're alleging, and not apparently. We got the actual numbers on it.
So one is finance, one is election finance. So
donation money, yes.
What people need to understand is these are multifaceted. Dad's referring to election finance corruption and these hundreds of thousands of transactions generating millions of dollars funneling through individuals who couldn't possibly have donated that many times. And we've covered this several times, and that is Dad's data with a gal who I'm going to have on next week, Draza. So she'll be on with us next week.
That's FEC data.
I wanted to make sure we dug into that a little bit, because I think that's important to understand the profound levels of corruption. And just because someone says they're a Republican doesn't mean they're a patriot.
Well, there's something I need to add on those two referendums that were passed last week, which I'll say reluctantly I supported them, and people are a little surprised when I say that. This is what really happened. Robin Voss is the most powerful politician in our state, but he's extremely corrupt. I caught him in a pay-to-play scheme, and we're going to be filing against him on that and the people involved. But apart from that, what he's been doing is he submits these state referendums to the ballot, and they sound good, and it's a good intent. But what he doesn't do is he doesn't write out how it's going to exactly the wording is going to amend our state constitution. So what happens now, the Republicans and conservatives in the state of Wisconsin are happy that the two referendums passed. But the reality is now the language to amend our state constitution gets written by the assembly staff attorneys who are liberal.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. Hold that thought. We're going to come back with Peter Berniger. And I want to say Wisconsin and Arizona may be the central, the epicenter of our battle to save our nation. And I really appreciate your hard work. And Peter, you put your butt on the line for not only Wisconsin, but for our nation. And I appreciate you. We'll be right back. Do you want to experience wellness at a whole new level? It's time to make your health and wellness a priority and be your best you. Check out TotalWellFit.com for top quality nutritional and wellness products. TotalWellFit.com. It's a lifestyle thing.
The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
Free Talk, 930 WFMD.
Welcome back. This is Jen, and I have with me today Walter Charlton, my dear old dad, in studio, and I have with me on the phone from Wisconsin, Peter Berniger. Peter, I want to give you the opportunity to continue any other thoughts, and then I want to shift to the next subject. So did you have anything else you want to say about Wisconsin and the situation up there?
Well, I just wanted to add is that I totally agree with your father, is that, you know, probably the core problem of our whole country is there's no accountability. And that's exactly what I've been doing. And now, you know, I had my neck stuck out on it, but I'm going to keep on with the fight.
So let's talk about that neck you stuck out. So as a result, this week, they came after you. What happened?
Well, this is the second time they came after me. The first time they came after me last year, the Capitol Police accusing me of harassment. And when a judge, there was never any criminal charge, but it accused me of that. And when a judge read the letter, in less than 15 minutes, he shook his head and threw it out. And he knew it was a sham and bogus and just made up. So that's the first time they tried to get me. Now there's the second time they issued a felony charge against me called simulating legal process. Now that statute was passed in Wisconsin in 1977, and since then there's only been two convictions. So it's kind of a catch-all statute. They could, you know, possibly convict anybody of it.
Well, here's the thing. Back to my opening. You know, they're attacking anybody who supports this movement to unearth the truth about what really happened in 2020 and what also happened in 2022. And this ongoing effort to destroy our country from the inside out. And that's what's happening. And
well, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my position, we recognized early on, I'm talking a week after the November 3rd, 2020 election, five of us got together, and right away we knew we would be conducting a criminal investigation. And I think that's how we leapfrogged everybody else across the nation. Now, I'm not going to say we're, you know, more advanced than any of those other people, but we really gained a lot of steam. But what makes us different is that I have been filing complaints and lawsuits and taking real action. So we redo the research. We obtain either the evidence or documents. We expose them publicly. And then we take action where we can. So at this point in time, we've got 8 lawsuits filed and pending. We've won many lawsuits on our side now. I participated in some of them, not all of them. We've won 16 lawsuits in the state of Wisconsin pertaining to the Wisconsin Election Commission or election clerks. We've obtained unbelievable amounts of documents and information from public records requests. And those lawsuits continue. The other ones are still open and pending. So
hold on. Of those lawsuits setting precedent that could affect us, let's say, here in Maryland, or in the case of Dad, he's got a case that's RICO that crosses state lines. So are you the work that you've done in Wisconsin, like I said previously, you know, I believe Arizona and Wisconsin are on the forefront of this battle to save our nation. Are you guys setting precedent up there?
Well, we have two newly filed cases where it could set precedent. And what we're doing is we're suing the Wisconsin Election Commission in both lawsuits, two different counties. One is focused on ES&S machines, and one is focused on Dominion. And the gist of those lawsuits is to obtain court orders to completely eliminate the connection to the internet in any possible fashion. So we know for 100% that the politicians included in some of the main corrupt clerks like the city of Milwaukee and city of Madison, they know the vote counts during the election day and into the evening. They know what the counts are. Well, if you have that information, that's exactly what you need to be able to go stuff the ballot box at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning, the next morning.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
And that's why these elections, and this I want to remind everybody listening, you know how they say, oh, it's too close to call, it's too close to call? It's because they're trying to figure out how many more they need to get it
exactly.
just over 50%.
Exactly. And
then
what,
they sell us
exactly.
on the, let me just say this, then they sell us on the idea that we're a split nation 50-50. That couldn't be farther from the truth. 50% of this nation does not support Joe Biden for president, and they never did. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Correct. Now, of interest maybe to the people in Maryland in particular, we have learned that the ESNS tabulators, the DS450, the DS850, you can push a certain button on those tabulators, and you can see the vote counts, the totals, during the election day. We have a sworn
wow.
affidavit from an IT person who worked at one of the locations of a central count who was running a DS850 ESNS tabulator, which the state of Maryland has as their vendor. And you could push a button and you can see the vote totals on it.
That's stunning. That's stunning information because it's not supposed. In fact, what they have done is they've lied to us. They said it couldn't be done, and it can, and they've lied. And here's the thing.
Exactly.
Here's the thing people need to really understand. Crooks, corrupt politicians or officials lie. That's what they do. It's part of their MO. Dad, you have a thought?
Well, yes. And the pointer, the location of the corruption is what is important. And once you locate the epicenter, as you earlier said, then you have to issue subpoenas, you have to do arrests, and you do enforcement. Now, the thing that's key in the information that we have is, and it's is finding these people. What I'm telling you is that the top 25 people in every one of the 50 states, we know their names, we know they are doing corruption in terms of identity theft. They know that it's a follow the money thing. But when you follow the money and you say these 25 people in each of the states, including Wisconsin, are doing this money laundering situation, then you don't stop there. That's the starting point of issuance of subpoenas by a proper law enforcement force. But guess what? There isn't any.
Well, there's a few out there, but to your point...
No, I mean the one you expect is the FBI or somebody. The FEC does not have anyone auditing its numbers like we're talking about here.
And let me say, FEC is the...
Federal Election Commission.
Thank you.
Unaudited.
So again, back to accountability. If we ever pull ourselves out of this nosedive we're in... There must be an overhaul of federal agencies, and some of them should just flat out be eliminated, and restore that control to the state level and really smaller government, right? Smaller federal government. But there has to be auditing. To Dad's point, there has to be oversight, and that oversight needs to come from the bottom up, from we the people, through municipalities, through the state to the Fed, not the other way around. I want to move on. So I want to talk about in this case of trying to hold public officials and the system accountable. We have a uniparty. So to your point, Robin Voss is a Republican, but Robin Voss is not a patriot. So there's a huge distinction right now that I want the listeners to get And I know you all get it because you're listening, but you need people around you to get it. It's time for us to take control of the narrative and shift the speaking from Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive to conservative. We need to stop that conversation and talk about the patriots and the traitors. That's a tough one. It's like, what do you mean you're calling me a traitor? Yes, I am, if you're uninformed and you're participating knowingly or unknowingly. So it's time to hold people, the voters, accountable as well for being informed about what's really going on here. And you can't listen to mainstream media because mainstream media isn't going to say what we're saying here. And I don't consider myself part of mainstream, even though I'm on conservative talk radio. So because I don't participate in that mindset and nobody controls what I have to say. So, Peter, what are your final thoughts? And then we have another guest coming on. But I want to just thank you for your fight. Thank you for what you're doing to go against the cabal in Wisconsin, but everywhere, because what's going on in Wisconsin and Arizona is going on in Maryland. It just doesn't look that way because people keep trying to paint us blue. And I, you know, there are a lot. Look, Trump was winning in Maryland before, you know, they froze up the system and shifted everything. So this uniparty is real. They're powerful. They're organized. And they've been working on this for decades. This didn't just happen in November 2020. It started before that. They started trying to take him down with the 65 Project. 2017, it was created. They had a mission, and they were planting the seeds back then. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, you're spot on, and again, so is your father, is that there's no accountability, and I'll leave you with a story. Is we went to nine supposedly conservative sheriffs in person and with documents and showed them the evidence. Not a single one followed. And I filed a signed, notarized criminal complaint of what happened in their counties. I had the documents in my hand. It happened to be about phony registrations. Not a single one of the so-called conservative sheriffs stepped up to do it. And there you go. There's the Republicans, so-called, blocking what the Democrats did wrong. And that includes Robin Voss. When the 91 subpoenas were ready to go out, by Justice Gableman of the Office of Special Counsel, to the right people, because I know who the subpoenas were going to, they were the right targets, is all of a sudden that's like 2-3 days later is when Robin Voss fired Justice Gableman. So there's a Republican, so-called, covering up what the Democrats did in cheating in the 2020 election.
So we have to be bigger and more powerful in our own confidence to stand up against this nonsense. We cannot be afraid. I'm not afraid. And, you know, I know my dad's not afraid, and I know you're not afraid. So we need people to stop being intimidated and wimpy and afraid to go up against the cabal and say, no, now we demand justice. We demand our country back. You don't get to infiltrate us from the southern border and from within the justice system and, you know, from the state capitals anymore. We're done with that. But, you know, in Maryland, we have such a problem, and we've had a cabal in Maryland for decades. And of course, they have such control over the legislative and election process that they install their people over and over and over and over and over again. So we are subjected to, for example, Governor Moore just raised all the energy prices. He allowed for all of these energy prices to skyrocket. Now, my pricing on my energy for my business has nearly doubled. That's crippling us financially. in addition, brought forward, these are consequences of people who have been installed. That's pounding the flesh out of the people. And this is why I'm so upset. I mean, this move to move the minimum wage to a year earlier than it was originally designed to go in. Governor Moore did that. Pounding small business again. And his claim is no one left behind. Are you kidding me? You're destroying us as a business and as a state. So these elections have enormous consequences on our infrastructure. He stood there in front and said, oh, no, no terrorism here, not a terrorist act or whatever. If somebody hacked into the system of the ship that ran into the Key Bridge, that's called terrorism. And I don't care what lipstick you put on that pig, it's still what it is. So enough is enough with them owning a narrative that is false and that is lying to we the people. It must stop, and it must stop now. But you and I and all the thousands of people, love you guys, who are listening, it's time to say now enough is enough. No more lipstick on this pig. We're going to take a quick break. Peter Berniger, our thoughts and prayers and hearts are with you and this great state of Wisconsin. May you prevail through all of the efforts that you are in right now, because you're flying low and fast over the target and they're coming after you because they know you've got the goods on them. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm right over the target. They know that I caught them, and I have the documents and the witnesses to prove it, and that's exactly why they're coming after me.
All right, God bless you. Stay safe, and we'll talk again. All right, everybody. We're going to have next Mary Claire, who's a delightful young lady I met at CPAC a year ago, and we've kept up, and she has some exciting news to share on a project she's been working on. And, you know, God is with us right now. God is in all things. And this is a spiritual battle between good and evil. And people may try to poo-poo that, but I know that right now we're fighting for our nation. We're fighting for it because God is with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Jen. And I have with me today, calling in, Mary Claire. And it's such a pleasure, Mary Claire, to have you on the show with me. And thank you so much for, you know, all that you're doing. It was great to meet you at CPAC a year ago. And I can't believe it's been a year. It's flown by. So tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, so the listeners can get to know you.
Oh, right. So it's Mary Claire Kendall. I'm a writer, but I've done quite a bit in the political arena. And your show at the inflection point we're at, and right, we're pivoting to the it's a spiritual battle. It's a good versus evil, God versus the devil. So my book is Oasis: Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, and it's a new edition which just came out. It's the blue cover with the Hollywood sign with all the stars: Alfred Hitchcock, Gary Cooper, and they all had spiritual conversions. Bob Hope, Mary Astor, the Duke, John Wayne, Ann Southern, Jane Wyman, Susan Hayward, Lana Turner, Betty Hutton, Ann Miller, and Patricia Neal. And they're very inspiring if you want a little break from all this, just this controversy, this you just racking your brain saying, how can we do anything? Well, these stars did something about in their own personal lives, and really God is in charge. God is in charge. These are days of miracles. So, and then I'm doing a sequel coming out on the 125th anniversary of James Cagney's birth, July 17th, featuring Ethel Barrymore, James Cagney, Spencer Tracy, Jimmy Stewart, Alec Guinness, and Jack Lemmon. These stories are like, I've written a book about Hemingway coming out at Christmas, and these are like little miniatures, really. Like he started with the little miniatures, his short stories, and people love them. It's just coming up Tuesday, the 65th anniversary of Gary Cooper's formally, you know, entering a formal religious structure, his family structure. He became a Catholic, and it was a big deal. Cornelius Vanderbilt was his godfather, Mother Dolores Hart, his godmother. So these are really heartwarming stories, and these guys are probably rolling in their graves, seeing what's going on in our country. So we pray to them, you know, we pray for them. If they're still in purgatory, pray to them if they've made it to heaven, because we need help.
Interesting. Well, and I think about Duke. He was a patriot through and through. And, you know, he spoke often about our nation and gosh, you're right. Wouldn't he be rolling over in his grave?
So tell us,
why did you write these books? Why did you think it was important?
Well, I'll tell you, I was doing political reporting. I was rushing out to the conventions in 2000 in Philadelphia, and I happened to catch Betty Hutton's interview with Robert Osborne on TCM, and I was like, oh, I just made a mental note of it, but I was doing all this chasing down, you know, trying to get the interview with Gore. I had done W. And then 6 years later, when I was in a transition, it re-aired. And I was like, I became like a kid in a candy shop, and I just dug into her story. She was the first one I wrote about. And
I'm sorry, who was that?
Betty Hutton.
Okay.
Who's not really that well known. Annie Get Your Gun. She's the template. She was the biggest thing in Hollywood, and then had a nosedive, and then recovered miraculously. Amazing. She went out to Rhode Island. I mean, she was like a homeless person. Went out to Rhode Island, and this priest, Anything Goes, and she just melted down when she lost her daughter. And she was in this rehab, and this priest was checking in his bombed cook, and he was so saintly. She said, "He's going to save my life," and my God, he did. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Well, so many people having lived in L.A. and frankly, been in Hollywood and seen and worked in the business. I mean, I worked in entertainment. You know, I've met the former, now past owner of Tower Records. It was amazing. I met, you know, had friends over at Warner Electro Atlantic Records. I mean, I hung out with those people. And I worked for Hanna-Barbera. So, you know, it's an interesting, so we'll talk about that some other day. How do people, coming up on top of the show, how do people get your books?
Well, they can go to my website, MaryClaireCinema.com, and it'll be there, C-L-A-I-R-E, MaryClaireCinema.com, or go to Amazon, Oasis, Conversion Stories, Hollywood Legends, Mary Claire Kendall. Or just Google Bob Hope, Mary Claire Kendall, and this wonderful article that was done in Alatea will pop up. But anyway, it's the blue cover with the Hollywood sign.
This has been a fabulous opportunity for us to talk. I want to thank my dad, Walter Charlton, for his hard work and dedication to saving our nation. Peter Berniger, our thoughts and prayers are with you in Wisconsin as you fight the battle for truth and justice. Enough of this lawfare. It's time to take our country back and save America. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on WFMD.